بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد
وأهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. So we're back to our story. The story of Sir Yusuf, سلام الله عليه. And we're figuring out what happens next. So, just as a quick reminder to myself, to all of you, where we are now. We had started off last time I was here in Sweden with the affair actually trying to take place, meaning Zuleika tried to seduce Yusuf. Yusuf, as we know, ran away, tried to leave, tried to escape, left. When he left, then her husband was outside the door. Her husband sees both of them in that state. There needs to be questions answered. She accuses Yusuf first. Yusuf responds, I didn't try and do anything. A witness testifies. Miraculously, a small baby testifies and tells the husband and all of those who are concerned that actually, if the shirt was torn from the back, that would be a sign that Yusuf was trying to do something. Sorry, if the shirt was torn from the front, that would be a sign that she was trying to escape. But if it's torn from the back, then obviously Yusuf is innocent. And they see that. Yusuf's innocent. The Aziz decides to fix the situation. How will I fix the situation? He tells his wife that I don't want, tells Yusuf to leave this matter, don't discuss this matter, this shouldn't get out anywhere. And his wife, her instructions are to do istighfar. To do istighfar, to ask perhaps her idol to forgive her. It doesn't stop there though. The news gets out, and now others find out about this story. It wasn't something that happened one time, two times, three times. The news got out. Then the women in the city start to talk about Zuleika and how what she was a monster, she was terrible, this and that. The news got out. This hurt Zuleika. Zuleika arranged for a party. She knew that the reason they were saying all these terrible things was that they had no idea what it was like to be around Yusuf. She said, I'll do something. Nobody will ever talk about me again. She arranged for a party, and in that party, she told Yusuf to come out. And Yusuf did come out, and the women were so shocked. They said that this is not a human being, this is an angel. They started to cut their hands. The other terrible thing that happened was that in the beginning, Yusuf, his problem was that Zuleika was after him. Now all of those other women saw him, and now they're after him too. So now we're going to read the verse of the Holy Quran. We started this last time. We didn't go into detail about this verse. So inshallah, we hope that Allah gives us some inspiration when we look over this verse. And that hopefully, by going over this verse in the month of Ramadan, with the niyat of amal, and practicing, and looking for inspiration, we hope we're able to do something so that Allah sends back the Yusuf of our time. The Imam of our time, who's witnessing our actions right now. So, verse number 33 is this: قَالَ رَبِّ السِّجْنُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا يَدْعُونَنِي إِلَيْهِ وَإِلَّا تَصْرِفْ عَنِّي كَيْدَهُنَّ أَصْبُ إِلَيْهِنَّ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. So Yusuf, in this stage, pressure from within, pressure from without, surrounded by, now the problem has become a multiple problem. The women now also calling to Yusuf, trying to invite him. At this stage, he turns to his only source of refuge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the midst of this calamity, Yusuf starts to address his Lord. He says, my Lord, the prison is dearer to me than that which they invite me. If you do not turn their schemes away from me, I will incline towards them and become one of the ignorant. So this munajat of Yusuf is because of the pressure he's under. He turns to his Lord, his true love. Regarding what happened with the women, Allama Tabatabai Ridwan Allah Ta'ala alayh tells us there's three possibilities regarding what happened with those women. He says one possibility is this, that they openly, right there in the party, started to call Yusuf and say that not only Zuleika now was calling you, now they're all saying that why not a young man like this? We're no less than Zuleika. You should come to us and inviting him to themselves. He said that's one possibility. He says another possibility is this. When Zuleika made that statement, had that party, now everyone agreed that there was no reason that Yusuf should be resisting Zuleika. They told Yusuf, submit to Zuleika. Zuleika's young, beautiful, the dunya is at your hands. Why would you fight your natural instincts? Sometimes with these, with the kuffar. It's natural, it's healthy. So they, according to one understanding, is that they start pushing Yusuf. Well, why are you fighting back? Well, it's useless, right? Especially if these women also see Zuleika's threatening him. On one side, you have Zuleika. She's beautiful, she's young. The dunya will open up doors for you if you listen to Zuleika. On the other side, what happens if you don't listen to Zuleika? Zuleika has explained what the punishment is. We read about that in the other verse. I swear to God, right? He didn't resist me. He didn't listen. He stood up for his Islamic principles. And I swear to God, if he doesn't do what I want him to do, punishment is prison and humiliation. So the women, perhaps their argument was this, said, why throw away your youth? Zuleika's serious. Why did they have to go down in a ball of flames? The other one that Allah Ta'ala, the other possibility says, is that in the session they said that, they told him, submit, but then they are seeking secret messages to him through their own people, signals, hints that we want them. So Yusuf alayhi salam is now surrounded by ma'asi. Yusuf is a person who wants to be pure. Actually for us, because we're looking for inspiration, when we're living in these countries, not that we compare ourselves with Yusuf salamu alayhi, but all around us, the dunya is calling it to us. The dunya, shaitan, shayateen, right? And we want to remain pure, we want to remain clean, we want to do what God says. What did Yusuf do at this situation? Instead of relying on himself, well, I'm pious, I'm holy, everything is God. Explaining to God, helping God, asking God to assist him. So a couple of questions then. Why does he say that the prison is ahabbu ilayya? Ahabbu ilayya. Does it mean that Yusuf had some love for the Zuleika and these people, and the prison was ahab? Right? So I have love for Zuleika, these women, this situation, but this is more beloved that I go in the prison. And Allah talked to Allah says, no. No one could compare with God for Yusuf. We're going to read one of the dua of the Imam to see what one can be like. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is expecting from you and I. We'll read that later. But he says, no. It wasn't that Yusuf alayhi salam had love of those women, that he wanted to do the wrong thing, but Yusuf was a human being. Prophets are not robots. That no, the prophet doesn't have any feeling for women. If there's a beautiful woman in front of him, he's not even attractive to a prophet. Right? No, he's a human being. Right? Prophets are role models for you and I. Prophets are role models for you and I. I think we covered this last time. The last time I was here, the explanation that we get from the Holy Quran that actually it's not the case that prophets cannot sin. That the understanding I have of the ma'sum is that the ma'sum can't, he's a robot. He just does what's right. No. Actually, the ma'sum has emotions, feelings, pressure. But what the ma'sum does have is a type of ilm and knowledge. And he can see the ugliness of sin. There's a type of knowledge that we can get by acting on the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can also benefit from this. This is not, these stories from the Holy Quran are just fables from history. No, they're lessons that we can learn. I believe it's Surah Hujurat in verse number 7. I think we read this yesterday in the class, where Allah explains, and if I recite the verse correctly, He says, حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you can look up the verse later, it should be verse number 7 from Surah Hujurat, that Allah makes iman beloved to you. وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. He makes it beautiful to you. In the beginning for me, maybe it was a bit of a struggle to do some of my takalif and duties, the things that Allah placed on my shoulders. But what's the promise that I get if I keep resisting, and I keep fighting, and I keep struggling, and I keep making effort? Allah can even make my takalif beautiful for me. Not that it's always resistance and I just wish I could be like somebody else. I enjoy what I'm doing. I enjoy being a Muslim. I wish others could be like me. Don't you envy our life here in the West? Don't you wish you could be like us, have our freedoms? Not even one day. I'm enjoying fasting in this month. I'm denying myself of food. Others are eating all around me. But the pleasure I get, they don't know. The pleasure that we get by having this relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we talk about things like, we have that verse of the Quran, all of us know it. Allah بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَعِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. That is only with the remembrance of Allah that the hearts become at ease. Only with Allah's remembrance. Other people are trying to get ease in many ways. It's my house, my insurance, I drive an expensive car, I have fire insurance. My house is secure. But the mu'min knows, Allah بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. I don't envy anybody else. I wish others could also have peace and security. I wish they could enjoy life. زَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. Allah makes it beautiful to us. So Yusuf alayhi salam is resisting, fighting back. Yes, he's a human being, so it doesn't mean there's no temptation for Yusuf, but he's doing his part. Now the beautiful part though, with Yusuf, although he's ma'soom, although he has that knowledge, everything in Yusuf's mind is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We learned this also, that when it comes to the ma'soom, it's not that ismah, that divine gift, is something that Allah gave the anbiya, and it's like clockwork. Allah wound it up and they operate based on that. Rather, it's something that they're given tadrijiyan. Gradually they're getting this ismah. Every day, every second, they see themselves as being dependent on God for this tawfiq, for this knowledge, for this help, for this assistance. Without this, they feel that they would fail. So it's very easy for someone like Yusuf to be begging. So when it comes to God, right? He's not, that's another thing that people say, no, that Yusuf jinxed himself. How? Yusuf, alayhi salam, he prayed for the prison instead of praying for afiyah, and Allah gave him the prison. If he had been wise, no, Yusuf is not praying against himself. Yusuf is saying that if I'm going to have to have the pleasure of sin in this world, the pleasure which is there for a few minutes, and then after that, all of that regret, and even if I don't regret it in the here in this world, I will regret sin in the hereafter. It's not that there's no consequences for sin. Sin can be addicted, even though there's sometimes when people get addicted to a certain sin. We ask Allah for protection from that. That sin, like drugs, it gives me a little bit of a high. And I get a little buzz off of sin. But then after that, God forbid, if someone does drugs, after that, off the drugs, then they feel bad. Sometimes maybe even have to do a worse sin to get the high, because the other sin, I've graduated to worse drugs. I can't just get high. So sometimes even with sin, I graduate to worse and worse sin. But Yusuf is saying, there is pleasure in sin. We're learning this from this verse. There is pleasure in sin. But if I have to choose sin and being away from God over prison and being with God, then the prison is more beloved to me. Being with God is more beloved to me. قَالَ رَبِّ السِّجْنُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا يَدْعُونَنِي إِلَيْهِ. The prison is more beloved to me than that which they are inviting me towards, that which they are calling me for. Now I give you that statement from Imam Sajjad salamullahi alayhi. We ask that Allah allow us to say this sentence and mean this sentence. Say this sentence and mean this sentence. Yusuf alayhi salam is saying that although there is pleasure in sin, there is ladha in that ma'asiyah, being with God, there's nothing like being with God. Now let's look at the wa astaghfiruka. Salamu alayhi, Imam Sajjad speaking. Astaghfiruka min kulli ladhatin bighayri dhikrik. Oh Allah, I ask you for forgiveness for every pleasure that was without your dhikr and your remembrance. Any pleasure that was without your remembrance, without you, not making you happy, I seek istighfar from that. Ask God to forgive me for that. I was ghafil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I wasn't conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I seek forgiveness from any pleasure, بغير ذكر. So it doesn't mean that the mu'min doesn't enjoy pleasure, doesn't have any pleasure in their lives. No, the mu'mineen enjoy their lives in the dunya better than others. In the dunya, we enjoy our lives better than others. We talked about the concept of halal pleasure. We talked about the idea of remembrance of God, having that peace, so I can actually enjoy those ni'mah. Sometimes if I go through life without tawakkul, without God, the more I get from God, the more worried I become. I'll give you an example. In America, we call a BMW a Beamer. Some people call a BMW a Beamer. Okay. Before, I didn't drive a Beamer. Drove a Hyundai, little car. Right? Now I've got a Beamer. If I have tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I can enjoy the blessing. Otherwise, the new ni'mah might create more worry for me. Before I didn't have to worry about this. How am I going to keep up with the payments on this Beamer? If I have tawakkul with Allah, Allah's the one who brought me so far. He'll help me the rest of the way. So with tawakkul, with these Islamic beliefs, with practicing Islam in a comprehensive fashion, we enjoy the life in this world more than they do, and then after that is the Akhirah. Before the Akhirah, we have Barzakh also. For some people, when they go to the Barzakh, it's a garden from the gardens of paradise. So the mu'min, I've enjoyed my life here. Thank you Allah, enough! No, when you come to the hereafter also, I take care of you when you're in the grave. And then after that, in paradise, and Allah gives you even more than you can imagine. وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيد. Allah gives you more than you can even imagine over there. So Allah, inshallah, He keep us on this path. And He bless us. Allah has blessed us by allowing us, giving us the tawfiq to be mu'mineen in the end of time. We're not doing God a favor. God has done us a favor by allowing us to be mu'mineen, to enjoy this wonderful religion, and then after that, go into the hereafter. So the Imam says, أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ مِنْ كُلِّ لَذَّةٍ بِغَيْرِ ذِكْرِ. Any pleasure without your remembrance, غَافِلْ of you, I even seek istighfar from that. When Yusuf salamu alayhi is making this statement, in reality, he's seeking strength and protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yusuf, he said, he doesn't see that I am powerful, I am keeping them away. Actually, he said that, as we looked in the verse, he says, وَإِلَّا تَصْرِفْ عَنِّي كَيْدَهُنَّ. If you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't keep their kaid and their schemes away from me, أَصْبُ إِلَيْهِنَّ. I'm nothing in and of myself. So if I'm able to ward them off, it's with that divine knowledge, that ismah. And we see that afterwards, Allah answers his prayer. The next verse after that, verse number 34, so Yusuf, in this time of difficulty, everything against him, no one should make it out of this story and still have his iman and his be safe and secure, Yusuf does make it. Immediately, Allah answers his prayers. One of the meanings of the letter fa in the Arabic alphabet is to show that immediately something happens. If they say thumma, means then, after some time, then such and such takes place. The verse says, فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُ رَبْ. Immediately that divine help was there, that divine assistance was there. فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ فَصَرَفَ عَنْهُ كَيْدَهُنَّ. Immediately, Allah sees His servant struggling, floundering, trying his best, resisting. Brother or sister, makes dua, فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ. So His Lord answered him and turned away their stratagems from him. Those schemes, those plots that they had for them, God turned them away from them. إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. That God is the one who is all-hearing and all-knowing. One lesson that I thought we could get just from this little part of the dua, and again, because we're reading these verses and looking for inspiration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we can keep resisting, keep fighting, keep struggling, and pave the way for the return of our Imam, because our Imam's not here yet. And the Ahlul Bayt presented a challenge to us. They said, you have to do something that your Imam returns. The others had access to their Imams, didn't appreciate their Imams. You have a special challenge, and your challenge is to do something, to do enough, so that after that Allah has mercy and sends the Imam back. So I have to resist without my Imam. So I'm looking now for inspiration from these verses, and one of them is, how can we pray like Yusuf alayhi salam and have our prayers answered like Yusuf's prayers were answered? Yusuf alayhi salam, in the most difficult times, he goes over, he prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُ, immediately his Lord answers. What can we do so that also our prayers are answered and God gives help for us? God gives us that assistance. One of the things that we can do, one of the spiritual techniques that we need to incorporate, I need to incorporate, you need to incorporate, when we make our dua, when we look for that help from Allah, is to pray with desperation. To pray with desperation, that we are mutarreen. We have no other choice but God's help. We need God's help. We don't have anything on our own. Let me read you this beautiful hadith. It's hadith Qudsi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to Hazrat Isa, salamullahi alayhi. He says, Ya Isa, O Isa, ودعوني دعاء الحزين الغريق الذي ليس له مغيث. He said, Isa, when you're calling on me, call on me with the dua of the person who is غريق, drowning in the ocean. Right? So imagine, out in the ocean, no help, no assistance, water all around me. الحزين, the person who is depressed, who's sad, لَيْسَ لَهُ مُغِيثٌ, doesn't have any assistance from anywhere, make dua, call out to me like that. When I'm calling out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have a responsibility to use all of those things which are at my disposal. We talked about that before, that true tawakkul means that I use all those things at my disposal. But I don't believe that any of those have any power except with the help of God. So I call out to God with that desperate type of dua. Yusuf alayhi salam, his story now. A foreigner. Some of us are immigrants in this country. Sometimes we might feel that the system is not necessarily for us. What we're doing? Coming up with reasons so I feel even more dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not that as a Muslim I'm weak. No, we take our rights, we get our rights like anybody. We pay taxes. We get our rights. But do I rely on these outward things? So Yusuf alayhi salam is a foreigner. He's a slave. No tangible means of support. Zuleika not only has power over him, because she owns him, she also has power over her husband. Another thing that really makes the situation terrible. Zuleika has this kind of control. She can say at a party, I am going after my slave. Announce it to the world. Husband, like some of these people here. No control, no, can't say anything, no. Ghayran, whatever his problem was. So this woman, and now I'm on her bad side if I don't give in. If that wasn't enough problems, all of the women also, rich, powerful women, they're also trying. So Yusuf now, Hazim. For us, غريق, we learn from this dua. So our mistake, sometimes what happens to believers, and I say this as a reminder to myself, is to rely on that which is at my disposal. To think that I can handle my situation. I'm not praying as the hazin, as the غريق. I think that I've got control of the situation. I need some extra help, for instance. Right? What happens, sometimes when people are praying, it's like two gods are talking to one another. Allah, I have this part under control. Can you handle that? Whereas Yusuf alayhi salam, he's praying. I don't have anything. If you don't turn their cave, their schemes away from me, I can do nothing. Right? Let me read you part of that beautiful dua. I think this is a line from dua al-iftitah. Allahumma inni as'aluka qaleelan min kathir. I'm begging God, asking God. I ask you for qaleel from kathir. Right? Whatever God has, that's... I'm just asking him, I'm humble, obedient, slave, servant. I have nothing. God, I'm asking you just for a little bit, begging you. Ma hajatin bi ilayhi azima. But my need for this favor that I need from you is great. Wa ghinaka anhu qadim. But you have no need for the blessing you're about to give me. God doesn't need anything from us. If he's to give all of us all of our needs, if all of us, God forbid, were to do kufr to billah, that wouldn't affect God. We need him. Those favors that he has, those things that are with him, we need those things. But he doesn't need anything from us. He says that, so, Allahumma inni as'aluka qaleelan min kathir. So, a little bit of those many bounties that you have. Ma'a hajatin bi ilayhi azim. Azima, that my need for this is great. Wa ghinaka anhu qadim. And you were never in need of this particular thing. Wa huwa indi kathir wa huwa alayka sahlun yaseer. For me, this is plenty. For you, this is tiny, it's nothing. So not that attitude when I'm praying, when I'm speaking to God, of I have things under control. I need God's help for everything, and for the littlest thing, I'm begging God. Let me read you some hadith. They might be a little bit scary. This first one is from Amir al-Mu'mineen. What does he say? Mal mubtala. الذي قد اشتد به البلاء بأحوج إلى الدعاء من المعافى الذي لا يأمن البلاء. Beautiful statement from Amir al-Mu'mineen. Pure tawheed, pure tawakkul. He said, it is not the case that the person who is mubtala, the person who is suffering, the person who is in extreme difficulty, hardship, disease, misery, faqr, poverty, that person is not in more need of dua than the person who is al-mu'afa, who's enjoying life, and is not secure, not safe from bala. God is always in control. I'm never in a situation where I'm out of God's... I have everything under control right now. I don't have to beg God with that desperation and that need. Alhamdulillah, things are going as I... plan them to go. No, every second of my existence, at all times, I'm in need of Allah's help. It's never two gods talking to one another. It's never that I have my situation under control. I have less need of dua than the person who's miserable and without anything. No, at every stage, even if I'm Yusuf alayhi salam, everything I have is in God's hands. Very beautiful feeling though. I said it's a little bit scary. You might think, oh, well, is Allah a monster? Because right? Allah could take away at any time. He can take it away. I don't ever feel secure from God, do I? That, you know, other people need to make tawakkul. I've got insurance. I don't feel that, right? I never feel that. No, alhamdulillah. I'm always feeling that. No, I am. At any time, God could take this away from me, but I serve a loving, caring God. God's on my side. God loves me. We have hadith which talk about the darajat of tawakkul. This is for the mu'mineen who really want to go up to the higher levels of spirituality. They say that tawakkul has darajat. One part of that tawakkul is to believe that there is never anything that I need that God could give to me, that it's the right time for me. Because God doesn't always answer your prayers immediately, does he? But what do I think about God? Never the case that there's something that I need from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah knows that I need it right now. It's good for me. It's in my interest. And God keeps it away from me. God's just stingy. We don't serve that kind of a God. The God that we have. So we're going through life, and although we realize that we're completely dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we're able to make strong statements. Something very interesting about Imam Khomeini, may Allah have mercy on his soul, this man who revived Islamic values in our time. Normally, if you look at revolutionaries, many times you'll see that revolutionaries, at one stage of their mission and their journey, they're very excited and speaking and strong and powerful. And then later, once they get into power, they become a little bit pragmatic. Get a little older, get a little bit more sense. I can't make those kind of statements anymore. But you see with Imam Khomeini, because he has that trust in God, that belief in God, that belief in that assistance of God, when he has no one, Imam Khomeini is making the toughest statements, the strongest statements, not terrified of anybody. I have nothing in and of myself, but I have God on my side. Once Imam Khomeini, Allah have mercy on his soul, he was sitting reading Quran. And the Shah, not the son, la'natullah alayh, not him, the father was even worse in some ways. Tough guy, this guy. He came in to, I believe it was in Qom, in Haram of Hazrat Ma'suma. So he came in, the Shah is making ziyarah. And all of the ulama get up. When a monster comes, Saddam Hussein comes into the room, you don't get up? Come into the haram, making ziyarah. Sees one sayyid over there, he's reading Quran. He walks over to him. He says, do you know who I am? Yeah, I know who you are, you're the Shah. He said that, why don't you get up? He says that this book I'm reading says not to show respect to you. He said, my name is in the book, in the Quran, my name is in the Quran. He says, the Quran says, don't show respect to the zalimeen. Imam Khomeini, this is before the revolution, the time of the father of the Shah. Who is Imam Khomeini? We have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another example from Imam Khomeini. Another example. Later on, in the time of Ayatollah Muhsin al-Hakim, Allah have mercy on his soul, very great man, one of the first people to rise up against, in his own way, against Saddam and the Ba'athists. And the regime didn't like him. Towards the end, they had surrounded his life. The regime was very unhappy with him. He died, and he was furious with the regime. The ulama, after he died, they had Majlis Fatiha for his soul. The ulama all having Majlis Fatiha, and Imam Khomeini also had Majlis Fatiha. When he had Majlis Fatiha, then after that, the government, right? So at that time, maybe Hassan al-Bakr is the president, Saddam Hussein is vice president. It's not a government you play with, not in Iraq, not if you have any sort of sense. The government of the time, the Tawhut of the time, sends representatives over there to the Majlis Fatiha. They said, everyone in the majlis, when the government representatives came in, everyone got up. Everyone. And I don't want to name names. Everybody who was there got up. Not Imam Khomeini. Not going to show respect. I've got on my side. Later in the end of Imam Khomeini's life, still, the words you see Imam Khomeini talking to the oppressors of the world. Think, what? Is he a nuclear arsenal? How is he so strong? Connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, we can also be like that. So, what the hadith tells us is that the person who's afflicted, miserable, suffering, dying of disease, drowning in the ocean, that person doesn't need dua more than the person who has everything. But if I make dua like that, so we have even instructions to pray for small things. Allah can break that kibr, that maybe idea that maybe I have some things under control. I'm handling some things, handling some of my affairs. Again, Hadith Qudsi. Ya Musa, Allah talking to Hazrat Musa. Ya Musa, salni, ask me, kullama tahtaju ilay. Ask me for every single thing that you need. Don't say, no, I don't need to pray for God about these things. I pray for big things. No, every single thing that you need. Hatta ala fashatik. You want to give grass to your sheep? You want to give grass to your sheep, you ask me for that grass. Wa milha ajinik. Even when it comes to the flour you want to put in your, the salt you want to put in your food, even that grass. So everything, big and small, always seeing myself completely dependent on Allah, but having that powerful, wonderful Lord who's looking out for me. So that's our understanding with Allah. Of course, we don't fall off on the other extreme. Well, yeah, everything's in God's hands, so I don't have to make any effort. It's all in His hands. Let Him take care of it. Huh? I make dua. Nothing better than dua. What comes, for instance, to the issue of Palestine. Instead of me going out to a rally, I'll just make dua. Nothing better than dua. Go out to the rally, attend, have a separate day, have an Imam Khomeini day. Do all of the parts that I can. Now, what we have to do, and then we're going to go back to the Quranic version, how we're supposed to live our lives. We're supposed to do whatever we can at the same time. So I don't believe that I have power over anything. All of that is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I have to try to do my best with everything that's at my disposal. I want to give you another story from the Holy Quran. Hazrat Maryam, salamullahi alayha, one of the four, the best women of the world, she was a virgin, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed her with a child. How can I, in this situation, let's think about it from, how can I, in this situation, explain to my people? How am I going to tell them I became pregnant? I was known as being the most righteous, most pious, most holy, and then now even to have anybody even think that I did something which is disgusting is too much to bear. Killing me is easier than making this kind of an accusation. And now I have a child coming up with me. She left the place of worship. Left the place of worship. And now, in the time when she had need, she went by a tree. It was a tree that Allah blessed. Miraculously, the tree turned green. Allah's giving her that assistance. She does everything she can. Allah gives her assistance. There were also wonderful dates in that tree. So Allah took this stump, miraculously make it turn into a tree. There's fruits in it, there's dates in it. But Allah doesn't give her the dates and put it in her mouth. What does Allah say in the Holy Quran? وَهُزِّي إِلَيْكِ So Surah 19, verse number 25. وَهُزِّي إِلَيْكِ بِجِذْءِ النَّخْلِ بِجِذْءِ النَّخْلَ تُسَاقِدْ عَلَيْكِ رُتَبًا جَنِيًّا So Allah tells her to shake the tree. Huh? I want to trust in Allah. I realize that I have no power, no strength. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. But I do everything that's at my disposal to make what's right happen. So I'm shaking that tree. So that's the way that Allah wants us to be with this whole concept of tawakkul, that lesson that we get from Hazrat Yusuf. We go back to our story now. So Yusuf alayhi salam calls out to God in his time of need. Allah answers. Allah keeps away that bad trait, meaning the bad things that they had planned for him. They wanted him to get far from God. God doesn't let this happen. Well, what happened? Did it mean, because Allah answered his prayer, immediately Allah made a miracle happen and his life changed? No. Sometimes if I stick according to my principles, sometimes I pay a price in this dunya. Sometimes, and of course, I try my best to avoid paying a price. I try and think and plot and plan, do everything that's at my disposal. But if I stick to my principles, it doesn't mean that life will be a piece of cake always. So I'm a very naive mu'min who thinks anytime I see something bad, but I'm doing everything that's right. Why would God give me difficulty? Well, God, we read the verse the other day. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ I read the verse correctly. We've created man in difficulty and trouble. Everybody has difficulty. Everybody has challenges. It's nobody's supposed to get through it scot-free. Even if you're Yusuf, even if you're Masoom, even if you don't make any mistakes, even if you're smart, even if you're clever. So what happened then in the story of Yusuf? Allah answered him. Sometimes, as they say in America, they say the Lord works in mysterious ways. God wants to do something for you, plan your life for you, give you success, but sometimes apparently it's a defeat. In reality, big picture, it's a victory. But God knows what's best for you. He knows how to get you through this problem. He's doing tarbiyah step by step. He raised us from the time when we were children, when we were helpless. We didn't have anybody to support us. He gave us a mother, a father, looked out for us, gave us rizq. We couldn't do anything to help ourselves. Later put us through school, gave us friends, put people into our lives so that we ended up being in the place where now we're mu'mineen. So that tarbiyah is taking place on a daily basis. Sometimes Allah has to give me difficulty in order for me to get victory. Yusuf alayhi salam, inshallah, if Allah gives tawfiq, if we discuss this surah till the end, Yusuf becomes the ruler of all of Egypt. This is a story of victory. Yusuf was separated from his brothers, separated from his father. But in the end, he comes back to his father, good relationship with his brother. This is a story of victory, even worldly success. But it doesn't mean that for every step of the way for Yusuf, it was victory. No, there were times when it became difficult for him. Let's look at the verse. ثُمَّ بَدَى لَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا رَأَوُ الْآيَاتِ لَيَسْجُنَنَّهُ حَتَّى حِينَ. Then it appeared to them, who are these people? After they had seen all of the signs, the ayat, the signs of his innocence, that they should imprison him for some time. After they had seen all of the signs of his innocence, it appeared to them that they should imprison him for some time. So what's the verse talking about? First of all, lahum. Who are lahum? Who are these people we're being referred to in the verse? We're talking about the Aziz, Zuleika, and his inner circle, his close companions. What did they see? The ayat, the signs of the innocence. What did they see? The ayat, we learn from Allah Ta'ala, says the testimony of that baby. A child speaks miraculously, comes up with that kind of a logical conclusion, logical understanding. The solving or the answer to the mystery, that's one sign. The shirt of Yusuf being torn from the back and not from the front, another sign. Yusuf, his salam alayhi, has never lied, never told anything. Perhaps they had also gotten word of the party, her announcing that Yusuf was innocent. Remember we read that in the verse where she says that Yusuf, he absolutely refused. He didn't listen, he didn't want to do what I wanted him to do. Right? So all of these things are signs now of the innocence of Yusuf. So they see that, but now the cat's out of the bag. Cat's out of the bag. They know that Yusuf is innocent, but now there's still a problem. What's really happening? The signs of his innocence now. The wife of the Aziz is trying to have an affair with her slave. The slave doesn't want that to happen. Yusuf alayhi salam doesn't want that to happen. Other women are now trying to get access to him. And now we have a major problem. The Aziz, his name, his reputation, his household, all of that's in trouble now. The second of command in the whole country. And this person has his wife running around with a slave. Doesn't have any control over his house. Even with politicians, even people who don't believe in God at all. You've seen this in recent times. People are terrible, terrible people. And I don't want to name names of any of these politicians right now. Bring down our jalasa to these wicked individuals. But even with those wicked individuals, there's an outward appearance they have to maintain. They might be people who believe in all sorts of things, but outwardly they'll go to church, for instance, at least in America, go to church, you'll see them praying, They're ordering drone strikes on people. Killing innocent people. Occupying countries. Helping Israel. They don't know what's happening in Israel. Still, outward appearances. I have a family, I respect it. So for these individuals, they still have to maintain outward appearance. So the Aziz now has to still maintain the outward appearance. I do have a family. There is some respect. People are talking about the Aziz now. My interests are in danger. We've got to fix this problem. Fix this problem. So what did they decide to do? ثُمَّ بَدَى لَهُمْ. So لَهُمْ is Aziz and inner circle, Zulaykha. مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا رَأَوُ الْآيَاتِ. After they had seen all the signs of Yusuf's innocence, what are we going to do? لَيَسْجُنَنَّهُ حَتَّى حِينَ. We've got to fix the problem, Mr. President. What are we going to do? We'll put him in prison for some time. Let people stop talking. Situation cooled off. Then we'll figure out what we're going to do. We know he's innocent, but still, in order to save ourselves, what we'll do is we'll imprison him for some time. So the lam, they tell us, is for qasam. They swore to do this. Sit around in a circle. How are we going to fix this problem? I swear to God, what we're going to do, we'll put him in prison. He's off the scene for a little while, off the radar. It'll blow over. We'll figure out what we're going to do. So, the other thing though, is that Zulaykha is involved in this. Remember we talked before about the idea of love, mahabba, which is not based on God? Zulaykha wants to teach him a lesson. Sometimes if you want to stand for Allah, for divine principles, you have to pay a price. It's not always the case. And mu'mineen, mu'minat, should prepare themselves. That if we really are saying Rabbun Allah, and we're prepared to thumma istaqamu, to resist and stand steadfast and stay in the way of Allah and pave the way of the Mahdi, and sometimes we pray a price in this world. Are we ready? Are we ready to say that no, Yusuf paid a price? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prayed a price. Paid a price. And we also, if it comes to that, what's important for us is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The dunya is temporary. تِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Everybody's got these ups and downs. Everybody goes through difficulties, sometimes rich, sometimes poor, sometimes health, sometimes sickness. What's important for me is that relationship with Allah. Being clean, living that clean life. So, this happened. They decided. So Zulaykha, because her love was not based on God, she's behind the scenes, pushing the buttons. Either she indirectly is enforcing and indirectly pushing what happened to Yusuf. She had promised this. Remember, we talked about this in the session. Openly, she said, "Wala in lam yaf'al ma amuruhu," if he doesn't do that which I told him to do, "la yusjananna." 100%. He is going to be in prison. I swear to God this is going to happen. It wasn't the only time she had talked about prison either. She talked about prison in that other session when she got caught outside the door. So Zulaykha, either they say, from Allah Tawatawai, from the Mufassirin we learn, either they say that Zulaykha was behind the scenes, pushing the buttons, or this was a direct command from Zulaykha. Her husband, she had her husband right in her hand. I'll tell you what we're going to do. This is how we're going to solve the situation. Not a big deal. Put him in prison for a little bit. It'll blow. So Yusuf is going to pay the price for sticking up for his values. So again, because for us we're looking for inspiration. We're looking for inspiration. We're looking to change ourselves and better ourselves and assist the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only pointing fingers. That horrible Zulaykha, la'natullah, for instance. Because she turned out good in the end, right? But we learned from some of the these places that she turned out, it's not, we don't want to say la'nat, but that, oh, she's such a wicked person. What about us? Question now. Question. What about me? When I'm going through difficulties, Mina, do I blame others for the situation I'm in? Do I say, it's because of society. It's because of my friends. It's because of the economy. Some of our African American brothers, the white man. Huh? Do I blame others for my problems? The system. It's the system that made me like this. Why am I far from God? Why don't I listen to what Ahlul Bayt say? It's the situation I was in. If others would just leave me alone for a little bit, I would be a real mu'min. If they'd make it easy for me, if they'd stop putting up barriers in this way, this shaitan, this enemy. Or do I blame myself for the problems which are my fault? When I'm in a situation, let's say my personal situations, when I want to fix something, there's a problem in the relationship. A problem, things are going wrong in our house, things that don't want to happen. How do I fix this? They were fixing the situation. We got to clean it up. What do? We'll make Yusuf pay the price. Do we make others in our own relationships, others pay the price? There's a problem, there's an issue. Do I look inward to see what my flaws are, my problems are, what I've done wrong? Or is everything outward? Everything what other people have done. I would like to be a really good person. I would like to change. I would like to become spiritual. It's too difficult. The world won't let me. The atmosphere that I'm in, this country. What do I say? No. Strong people, people who accomplish, overcome obstacles. For them, getting what they want, being with God is so important. Whatever else comes, come hell or high water, I'm going to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from me. You can't intimidate me and make me stop practicing my religion. You can't tempt me and make me stop practicing my religion. My religion is important. I'll overcome the obstacles. You put something in my way, I'll beat that. I'll break that. So some people are like that. I want to give you another Quranic story. Another story from the Holy Quran. This story from the Holy Quran is about one of our prophets. This is a surah. It's surah number 21. And it's verse number 87. You remember the story about how one of our prophets was swallowed by a fish, by a whale, right? Which prophet? Yunus. Prophet Yunus. So Prophet Yunus is swallowed by a whale. The Quran tells his story. And then there's a verse over here we can look for inspiration. Yunus alayhi salam, a rough version of the story, goes and invites his people to God. Invites them, calls them, preaches to them. People don't listen to Yunus. No matter what he does, no matter tabligh, he's ma'asum, he leads by example, he talks, he works, he struggles. Sometimes in our personal life, we might be tempted to give up. I've been making effort, I've been trying, I've done everything right. I don't see the results, I'm tempted to give up. Yunus alayhi salam is ma'asum. For you and I, you know, we're making mistakes also. There's problems, there's issues within us. Yunus alayhi salam is doing all of the right things, trying, resisting, preaching, talking, and the people don't listen to Yunus alayhi salam. They don't listen to Yunus. Finally, the stage comes where Yunus realizes that no, these people are very wicked, they need to be destroyed. And Yunus goes and he prays against his people. They've done so much wickedness, now it's time for Allah to punish them. They see the signs of the punishment. So not only you disobeyed your prophet, not only you did something, you made him reach to a stage where now he's praying against you, now the signs of the punishment are there. You can see God is about to deliver his adab on this qawm, these people. Now, the mistake of Yunus, because we believe that prophets are ma'asum, mukhlas. They don't commit sins. But God has a higher expectation from prophets than he does from you and I. Some things that, from a fiqhi point of view, are lawful for the prophet, God is disappointed if the prophet does that. And Yunus alayhi salam leaves his place before he gets permission. Is that a sin according to fiqh? No. But at his stage, it's a mistake. So he leaves. Leaves. And now look at the verse of Quran. So Surah 21, verse number 87. Wadhanun, the man of the fish. Idhahaba mughadiban. He leaves angry from his people. So wicked, so bad, against God, not listening, not doing the right thing. And he leaves before the adab descends, and also before it's right, because these people actually, they end up making tawbah. There were two people who were amongst them. They made tawbah, and God removed that punishment. Yunus had, he left. So the verse continues, فَظَنَّا أَن لَن نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ. Yunus, thinking, we would not put him into hardship. Yunus alayhi salam went and he went into a boat. He goes into a boat and now there's a fish in the water. What are we going to do with this fish? We don't want everybody to drown. Draw lots, comes out in the name of Yunus alayhi salam. They throw Yunus into the water, fish gets him. Now Yunus in the ocean, punished by God, left before his time was, before he was supposed to leave. Now in the darkness, Yunus cries out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Does Yunus blame the people, blame society, blame the wicked actions of his people? No. Let's look at the words of the Quran. Fanada fi dhulumat. So Yunus cries out in that darkness, in the world, in the ocean. An la ilaha illa ant. He says, there's no God but you. Subhanaka inni kuntu min al-dhalimin. Inni kuntu min al-dhalimin. I'm the person who did wrong. I'm the person who made the mistake. Not the people, not society. Why did you test me with these people? Why did you make me leave? Why did you show me that the signs, that the adab was coming on the people? No. Inni kuntu. Anyone who wants to really reform themselves, wants to really change themselves, change their situation, better themselves, I have to look inwards. I can't only point fingers at everybody else. I have to look inwards. What is my responsibility? What is my fault? Sometimes you talk to people, they're so defensive. But brother, but sister, but what did you do wrong? For instance, in a family, no, Mia. Please, can you just tell me? Do you have any faults at all? Did you ever do anything wrong? They want me to believe, as a marriage counselor, no, my husband is shammer. Huh? Or my wife, she is... And I ask, brother, sister, can you at least just... Do you make any mistakes at all? Inni kuntu min al-dhalimin? They need to reform. They're lucky to be married to somebody like me, huh? They don't say this openly. But the successful couples, those people want to get out of, no, maybe there was something I was doing wrong. Maybe there's some problem. Maybe I'm looking at least inward. Maybe I'll find that. No, when I look at, yes, I did have these flaws, these mistakes, these things which are against teachings of Ahlul Bayt. On the other side, no, they were also doing something wrong. But at least looking inward. Not so defensive. So, when Yunus alayhi salam did that, at that time of difficulty, in the whale, in the ocean, going through his difficulties, away from the mercy of God, God's unhappy with him, he turned himself and he blamed himself, not blaming everybody else. Took responsibility for his own actions. Verse number 88 now. فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ. Again you see, فَاسْتَجَبْ. Immediately, right? Fa, we said, one of the means of fa was to show that immediately, this takes place. So he goes and he's calling out to his Lord. He's praying to God in these desperate situations. Inni kuntu min al-dhalimin. And then immediately God answers. Immediately God answers. We understand this from the verse. فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ. So we answered him. وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمْ. And we took him out of that grief and that misery. God saved Yunus. His end is a good end. Now the point that's for us. وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. What does Allah say in the Holy Quran? وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. If believers also take that approach, Believers also struggle, also resist, also do their responsibility, do everything God wants them to do. Don't give up hope and immediately turn against God, get angry with God. If believers do that, if we do our responsibility, وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ and thus do we deliver the faithful. One of the things that we're supposed to believe, I mentioned this before and I mentioned again, I hope that it has effect on my own soul. We learn that we're supposed to always expect deliverance. انتظارُ الفرج. We've heard those hadith. The best of the actions of my ummah, انتظارُ الفرج. Expecting delivery, expecting relief, expecting assistance. It's not only for the final victory, which inshallah we hope God gives us life to witness. Not only for the final victory of Islam. Even in my personal life, on a daily basis, issues that I'm going to, in Tadarul Faraj, expecting divine help, expecting delivery, expecting assistance. One more thing though, to make sure that this is correct now, our understanding of the verse is correct, is that it doesn't mean that we only blame ourselves and beat ourselves up. There are some people, when they look at problems and issues, everything, shaitan comes to me. I always blame myself for everything. I always think I'm miserable, I'm bad, I'm wrong, I'm wretched. When I look at myself even, I don't see any spiritual growth, any potential, anything. Now this is again from shaitan. We don't want to fall off the wrong side that I want to protect this principle, the idea of relying on God so much that I run and I fall off the other side and I end up in Shaitan's wishes and his desires. That, for instance, I always blame myself even when it's somebody else's fault, even when there are outside pressures. No, I'm supposed to see what's going on the outside clearly. What's going on the inside, my problems, my issues, my regard, what my faults are, and then try and find out what my Islamic responsibility is. And never, no matter how bad the situation is, lose hope of the way that I can achieve and that I can be successful. So I don't lose hope that way. I don't only blame what's outside. I don't only blame what's inside. And I don't only always think so bad and so terrible of myself. We ask Allah, by the right of Muhammad wa al-Muhammad, that He make us amongst the true soldiers of Imam al-Mahdi. We ask Allah by the right of Muhammad wa al-Muhammad that He accept what was said and heard in His way. We ask Allah to protect all of the mu'mineen, mu'minat, maraja, and especially the leader. Salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
No questions?